So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Imagine that. Imagine royalty wrapped in rags. Imagine majesty in a manger. Imagine holiness in this filthy stable. Imagine the creator of the universe totally dependent upon a teenage mother and a bleary-eyed carpenter. When you talk about an uncommon king, man, genius, just pure genius. I mean, this child that was born this night changed everything, didn't he? I mean, kids have a way of doing that, don't they? Kids have a way of changing everything. Ann and I had some friends of ours back in Indiana in our small group, and they tried for years to get pregnant, and were unsuccessful. And so one day they came to our small group, and they said, you know what? We have good news. We're pregnant. And we all celebrated with them. We were so happy for them. They came back a week later and said, guess what? We have even better news. We're pregnant with twins. And we're like, oh, that's great news. We were so excited for them. And they had their twins, and they were healthy. A couple months later, they came to the group again. We have good news. We're pregnant again. And we're like, all right, congratulations. That's great. They had their third child. Just a couple months after that child was born, they come back to the group again. Guess what? We're pregnant. And guess what? It's twins again. And we were like, oh, we are so happy for you. I was like, I'm so happy it's you, you know? 5 kids in 5 years. Wow, kids have a way of changing things, don't they? Well, this baby that was born on this night can change you. He can change your present. He can change your purpose. He can change your past. He can change your future. He can change your hope. He can change who you are. I mean, can you even imagine being there that night when this scene unfolded when Jesus was born? I mean, being one of those angels invited to come and share the greatest news that the planet had ever heard, that the creator of the universe has come down in the form of a little baby person. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, imagine being a shepherd. Imagine being a shepherd, one of the very first human beings to hear this news. I mean, these guys were never first at anything, ever. I mean, these guys were at the bottom of the social ladder. They were often forgotten, never remembered. They were never first. I mean, they lived with animals. I mean, they smelled like animals. They ate with animals. They were constantly with animals. They had this dead-end minimum wage job. So imagine the thrill. Imagine the thrill it must have been for these guys to be some of the first human beings to hear the news that a Savior had been born just down the street. Imagine that. I heard about a children's program that they were putting on, kind of where all the kids kind of wear their moms and dad's robes and kind of tell the Christmas story, so to speak. And the guy that got the part of the innkeeper was not real happy about being the innkeeper, because you see, he wanted to be Joseph, was who he wanted to be. And so he determined on the night of the play that he was going to do his best to take this play off track. And so the play's going on, and you know the part, Mary and Joseph come up to the door, and Joseph knocks on the door, and innkeeper answers the door, and here was his time. You know the lines. Joseph says, my wife is pregnant, we need a room. And you know what the guy was supposed to say, the innkeeper was supposed to say, I'm sorry, we have no rooms. But instead of saying, I'm sorry, we have no rooms, you know what he said? He said, come on in, we've got plenty of rooms. Well, this little guy playing Joseph was pretty quick on his feet, and he wanted to get the show back on track, so he says this. He says he looks in, looks to the left, looks to the right, and says, you know what? This place is a dump. My wife isn't going to stay here. Come on, Mary, let's go out back to the barn, you know? Pretty quick on his feet, isn't he? But imagine being Joseph. Imagine standing there in the stable going, you know what? I am such a loser. I mean, this is the best I can do for my wife. Imagine him putting up with what he put up with for 9 months from his friends. Your fiance is pregnant? Is God's child? Come on, Joe. Wake up and smell the coffee. You need to ditch that girl. She is no good. Imagine being Mary, knowing that you're carrying the Son of God inside of you. Imagine that. Imagine the labor and the pushing and the pain and hearing the voice of God for the very first time as he comes into the world through you. I mean, imagine being Jesus's parents. I mean, think about it. Imagine changing God's diaper, all right? I mean, imagine trying to discipline little Jesus. Jesus, don't touch that. That's going to hurt you, you know? I mean, imagine sitting at the table and nudging one another going, that's God sitting across from us, and he likes my meatloaf, you know? Imagine being the parents, and imagine 30 years later, Jesus walking down into the Jordan. Imagine the heavens opening up and a voice declaring out, this is my son whom I love. I'm well pleased. I mean, imagine hearing this guy teach, Jesus teach in ways you've never heard before. Imagine him saying things like, you know what? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I mean, blessed are those who are meek, for they will inherit the earth. I mean, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I mean, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. I mean, don't judge others. Don't look at the speck in your friend's eye when you got a 2x4 in yours. Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, don't hate your enemy. Pray for your enemy. If you do all these things, if you put these things into practice, you're like a wise man building your house upon a rock. Imagine being out in the lake one day and this terrible storm comes up and you're in this boat and you're thinking, this is it. I am done. My life is over. And then Jesus walks up to the edge of the boat and yells to the wind and the waves, knock it off. And it goes silent. I'm sorry. Imagine that. And imagine saying, you know what? Who is this guy? Who is this Jesus? And imagine lining the streets of Jerusalem as this guy, this good guy, this friend of sinners, the one who touches the untouchable. Imagine as he walks in and he's led up a hill to die a criminal's death, dying on the cross. And imagine on that cross, Jesus, as he did in the manger as a baby, crying out, it is finished. I have come to do what I've done and it is finished. And imagine that he did that all for you. He did it all for you. You see, you don't have to imagine it because that's what happened. Christmas is about God coming down and chasing you, about God coming down to find you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Imagine that. Now, are there some kids in the room tonight? I think there are a few kids in the room tonight. A couple of you kids, all right, here's what I want you to do, kids. On the count of three, I want you to wish us all a Merry Christmas, all right? Can you do that for me? On three. One, two, three. Merry Christmas! That is great. Now, raise your hand if you're excited about opening a couple presents tomorrow. All right, put them down. I know some of you might be excited about getting a new Barbie, right? Some of you might be excited about getting an Earth Vortex. I've seen the lines, they're big. Some of you are excited about getting something a little Bieberish, right? I agree with him. Some of you might be excited about maybe getting an iPad, right? Set that standard high, moms and dads. I love this time of year because kids are so fun. And I love the stories that come out at Christmas time, especially the stories of kids who write notes to Santa. And one of my favorite ones comes from this little guy. And it goes like this. Dear Santa, there are three brothers who live in my house. Jeffrey is 2, David is 4, and Norman is 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time. David is good most of the time. But Norman, he's good all the time. I am Norman. Here's the truth, though. None of us are Normans, are we? None of us are good all of the time. We all fall short. The Bible says that no one is righteous and we need a second chance. And at Christmas, God longs to give us a second chance. God longs to give us a new beginning, a fresh start. God longs to do life with us. And just imagine what it would be like to do life with God every single day. Imagine what it'd be like to bring a selfless, unconditional love to your marriage. Imagine what it'd be like for the very first time to forgive your dad, or to forgive your mom, or to forgive your family. Imagine what it'd be like to walk in freedom with no regrets, no guilt. I mean, imagine what it'd be like to be clean and sober for the first time in years. I mean, imagine sitting at your Christmas table and there's an empty seat because you've buried someone you love, and there's grief. There's grief, but you have this unbelievable, remarkable hope and faith like Joseph had that God is in control. And imagine, like the shepherd, you had this knowledge that you are not insignificant. And imagine like Mary, you knew that God was with you, that God was in you. And some of you are saying, but Jason, come on, your imagination's running wild here. You're kind of getting off track. There's no way that could ever happen to me. There's no way that it could ever be in my life. Really? I think you can. In fact, I believe there's a verse I want to show you in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and it simply says these words: "We have a God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask," and here's the word, "imagine." Imagine. Imagine that nothing is impossible with God. God can do anything. And here's what I believe. I believe God brought some of you here Christmas 2011 because he wants to simply say to you, "I came down because I want to do life with you. I want to do life with you. Would you take a step towards me? Would you use your free choice and walk towards me today?" You know, God has given us all a free choice. And sometimes we use that free choice for good, and sometimes we use that free choice for bad. Sometimes we lie, sometimes we steal, sometimes we betray, sometimes we gossip. And you're saying, but Jason, if God gave us this free choice and he knew it was going to be so much trouble, then why did he give it to us? Why? Because God is love. And it's authentic love when we have the ability to choose to love or not to love. You see, for me, I love the fact that my wife, it loves me. That she isn't like a robot programmed to love me. That of all the 3.5 billion guys on the planet, she chose this skinny redneck from southern Indiana, all right? And yes, I used to be a redneck. You see, it's meaningful to me. It's meaningful to me because she had the choice. She could choose to not love me, but she chose to love me. And God chose you. God chose you. You matter to him. You are important to him, and he wants you to use that free choice to walk towards him. And I believe that Christmas 2011 is a chance for you to do that. Imagine that. Imagine that. And you're thinking, well, Jason, how do I do this? Well, it simply starts with a little childlike faith. It starts with an honest prayer from an honest heart. It's nothing rote. It's nothing ritualistic. It's simply coming to God saying, God, I understand now why you came down. I understand Jesus' journey. And I can't do it on my own. I want a fresh start, and I need your help. Maybe today, Christmas 2011, is your chance to get your life on track. And maybe some of you walked with God, you walked with Jesus, but in the last couple of months, last couple of years, maybe you walked away. Today's your chance to walk back. And for some of you have already made a decision about this baby. You've already decided that this isn't a holiday for you. This is a holy day. And if you could be like those shepherd children, if you could come before that child and you could bow down and worship him, you would. You see, Christmas is when love came down. Love is here. You don't have to imagine it. It happened. And church, it all happened for you. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are so grateful for this day. So grateful for the opportunity we have to come before you and just worship you and say thank you for who you are and what you've done. Emmanuel, God with us, you came down because we needed your help. We needed to reestablish our relationship with you. God, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you so much for this child who did so much more than just teach and do miracles. God, he gave his life so that we could be with you. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for him coming down. Thank you for his journey that led us to life. God, we pray all this in his incredible name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
As we continue singing,